Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There, my very good friends, on today's wrestling news. We're going to talk about CM Punk getting trolled hard in Chicago by the Elite.
There were F the Elite and F CM Punk chants on last night's AEW Dynamite.
The House of Black are back, and they pretty much just killed everybody.
Yes, and Jamie Hayter is no longer the interim AEW Women's World Champion. She's just a full-on AEW Women's World Champion. I'll tell you all the details behind that change. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And oh boy, this is going to be a fun one.
This is the news.
All right, the Elite last night, Chicago, you knew it was going to be wild. Oh. You knew it was. It's one of the loudest, rowdiest wrestling crowds in the world anyway. The incident between the Elite and CM Punk, you know the story. You know on being the Elite this week, they were little troll scamps. The Young Bucks had their bio this week. Kenny Omega yesterday did an interview with SI where he was like, guys, we've just got to put all this drama behind us. It's not CM Punk versus the Elite. Let go of it, guys. It's not worth it. And then he did a go to sleep and stuff on Dynamite. And what the hell? So this was the second match of the Best of Seven series. Mm-hmm. Death Triangle versus the Elite. Death Triangle won, right? Penta used the hammer on Nick Jackson. It was Nick Jackson, yes.
Yes.
No, it was Matt Jackson, idiot boy.
I was getting so confused.
Pac pinned him. So that continues that further story. The Elite are now 0-2 in that series. They're on the cosh. But oh boy, were they playing heels in Chicago. There was lots of stuff going on with the crowds, which we'll get to in a minute. But the references to the brawl, to the controversy, there was a lot of them. Kenny, early on, going for the Terminator dive. Everyone seemed to be getting into it until he did this.
Oh.
Until he did that, but then he got cut off because he's a heel and that's the heel psychology. Later on, he actually did the go to sleep.
Yeah.
And there was a kick out, so it didn't end the match or anything like that. Later, he bit, I think it was Pac, he bit his arm. This is, of course, a reference to Ace Steel biting him in the brawl. Yeah. Kenny had the bite mark for about 2 weeks after that. And, oh, yeah, Matt Jackson tried to do a Buckshot Lariat and fell on his ass, just like CM Punk did. So there were some clear shots going on here throughout the match. We can't really evaluate this whole thing without talking about the crowd chants and stuff as well and how they played into it. So I'm going to swing over to you and then we'll break it down.
Yes, I think they did everything in that match other than the full Anchorman kick a dog off a bridge, basically. but yeah, in terms of the chants, Andy, there were dueling chants of F the Elite and F CM Punk. And if you're wondering what the F stands for, have you ever watched wrestling before? Also, there was the dreaded CM Punk chants, which were just the bane of WWE for so many years. But it was just a case of you're in Chicago, loyalties are split, and like you say, the Elite are just putting that bait out there. Let's see if we get any nibbles on this. Oh, the entire arena.
Yeah.
I've come into work, I'm so glad that I work with far more knowledgeable and professional colleagues, because I came into work today to ask yourself and the Dudley Boys, what's going on here? Because I watched that and went, cool, so I guess CM Punk's coming back? Or is it just them being, you know, just like, well, you little scamps? Or is it, as you seem to have decided on, and as you agree with Sidgwick, just them going, well, we're in Chicago, we might as well lean into it?
See, this reaction is good because it proves that it worked, right? The whole thing. I thought that this was one, not a match of the year, but like a hoot of the year. A fun time of the year.
Yeah.
Right? There will be people coming out of this going, oh, but Kenny said in an interview and then did this. Good, you got worked. That's the whole point. You come out and you go, guys, just stop it. And then you do the exact opposite on a night where you're playing heels situationally in Chicago. That's the whole point. You're supposed to be upset by it. Or, conversely, you could have had the opposite reaction, which is what I think Sidgwick had as well as myself, and just enjoy the ride and have a good time and watch these guys like master conductors. Is Beethoven, was he a conductor?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure, we'll go with him. That's what they were like last night. They had this crowd wrapped up, and Chicago were brilliant. This wasn't a disruptive crowd. This wasn't a taking the show hostage crowd. This wasn't a, we don't like what you're feeding us, so we're going to rebel crowd. We're going to get the beach ball out and ignore the action. Yeah. This was a crowd that went with everything they were fed. Because on Being the Elite this week, we got they highlighted the FCM Punk
chants. Yeah.
The exact reaction that the Elite wanted when they stepped in the ring in CM Punk's backyard was for that crowd to chant F the Elite, flip it around. And that's exactly what happened. Within minutes, we had people chanting for the Elite. We had people chanting just CM Punk. CM Punk. Later on, they were chanting, this is awesome, because they were just so into it. Everything got the desired response. The baby faces, when they cut these assholes, because that's what they were on the night off, they got big pops. When the Elite were assholes, they got booed. The whole thing was a big heel comeuppance in the end as well, because the Elite lost. They showed their ass. They ate the dirt. They ate S-H-I-T. These guys worked the hell out of every single person who watched the show last night. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Legitimately one of the best wrestling things I've seen all year. I would put it right up there, like in terms of work-wise, with the very best Sami Zayn stuff, with the very best MJF CM Punk feud stuff. I thought this was brilliant. And I've not been the most complimentary to Dynamite recently.
And the crowds have been a bit rubbish at AEW recently.
And then they went to Chicago, and it was like, the big question was, are they just going to hijack the show? No, they played along. This was wonderful. People are going to throw words like unprofessional and stuff around, and it's like, that's the point. That's the whole point. Allow yourself to get worked. It feels good. It's the whole point of the sport.
I'm just going to get my bag of popcorn and watch Twitter all day, because...
yeah.
No, I know it was meant to be dead, but today it is very much alive with arguments and people's... I think that you're right. I think the fact that they generated such a response arguably proves that what they did was correct.
Yeah, and I think, you know what I want next? I want CM Punk on Twitter. Mm. I want some salt, baby.
And I think CM Punk's coming back now. I think it's all a big work.
I love this. I love that, like, it seems to be half people think that this is a sign he's coming back.
Yeah.
And half think that this was just like one final kick in the nuts.
Yeah, that's the last, the final straw sort of thing.
I love the pettiness. I hope that if CM Punk shows up on SmackDown this week somehow, that he cuts a promo on the Elite.
He's the fifth member of the babyface team at Survivor
Brother, Series. This is getting out of control. Wow, what
thankfully, Dynamite was quiet other than that.
Yeah, the House of Black, they returned as well. So this was before all the Elite madness. So it was kind of like, I mean, the opening segment was a popper as well. But like this was the first big popping moment of the show for me, personally, because I love the House of Black, and it was good to see them back. So there was the match between Orange Cassidy and Jake Hager. Orange Cassidy beat Jake Hager to retain the All-Atlantic Championship. Afterwards, in the ring, we had Best Friends, we had OC, we had, not the OC, Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah.
We had Rocky Romero. The Factory came down. QT Marshall, no sign of a go-go, keeping him out of this. What's going on, guys?
I see Daniel Garcia back on telly, though, at least.
Yeah.
Has he been?
I know. What's been up with him? Maybe he's had a quiet injury or something.
Yeah,
who knows?
Hopefully not.
He was in the mosh pit for God's hate last week, so that's risky business.
Yeah.
QT's cutting a promo, the mic cuts out, and you're like, oh, is this just crap production? Then some lights start cutting out and blah, 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 and I'm like, all right, okay, cool. Something's going to happen here. They come back on the red. Julia Hart's there. Oh, good. They're back. The House of Black are back. They came from behind. They killed the baby faces. The Factory were applauding them like goobers. Good job, boys. And then they died as well. Everyone got their ass kicked. House of Black go outside. All these dorks start running around. There's some dark and elevation wrestlers. There's some security guys. They die as well. And they get on the ramp and Malakai Black just says, what do you say? Members of the House of Black, please rise. So they're back. It was simple. It was effective. They kicked loads of ass. It was awesome.
I think Brody King killed a guy on that ramp.
I think he might have, which is perfect. They got new music. Fill in your bingo card, take your drink or whatever. Andy Murray puts a band over, but they've got the new music from Dead Body, which rules. What a great time. They're back. I love the House of Black.
Yeah, this Dynamite was so enjoyable but confusing for me. And it's probably just because I'm an idiot. Right, because, like, you talk about the opening segment, Moxie's there, and nothing actually happens. He's, I'm going to kill him. Nothing actually happens. And I was a bit like, oh. But then I was like, What did you want to happen? Him to attack an elderly William Regal, who they literally said in the promo, he's had, what, two bleeds on the brain or something?
Pile drive, yeah. William Regal.
And then when the House of Black came in, I went, wait, the House of Black are going after the All-Atlantic Championship. And then they killed everyone, and then the Young Bucks and all that sort of thing. So, yes, very glad to see the House of Black back. Look, I've said this a million times. I am not here for when they talk all their bollocks and, whoa, what's all mean? And I'm setting something on fire and I'm made of dust and all that. But when they do what they do, and Brody King did what he did on this, I love them.
I love this.
It's the opposite of, and then the bell rang. When the bell rings with the House of Black, when they do physical stuff, I love them. I don't care about it. I don't care about all this. Ooh.
See, it's like, I love this because we have two kind of opposite views on it. It's good because we don't really disagree with much on the news. I love all the stuff. I love the antlers. I love everything. I'm a mark, man. I don't care. Like, you should be a mark, though. You should enjoy stuff.
But yes, clearly, Malakai Black, like you say, must be glad to be back doing this again. I'm very happy to see him.
I mean, we could spend like 10 minutes picking those reports and all of that situation apart. For now, I'm choosing to bask in the glory.
Exactly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He was on the show too.
Good news, bad news regarding the Women's World title. The good news is, definitively, we now have a Women's World Champion, and her name is Jamie Hayter. The bad news is, Thunder Rosa, due to her injuries, has had to vacate that championship, so it's gone to the interim world champion, which makes a lot of sense. That's what they do in other sports, of course. It was cleared up basically by Renee Paquette before the six-woman match. She came out and said that Rosa had agreed to relinquish her championship. A mutual agreement had been reached, basically, due to the extent of her injuries and the whole uncertainty around when she'd return. And they said, yeah, it was not just for AEW's benefit, but it was a benefit. It was the right thing to do for the women. Rosa, of course, out of action since August. It's a shame, obviously, all this, but it got to a point where we were previewing Full Gear, and I was just basically saying the Women's World Championship with Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. So I'm kind of glad that's cleared up. But obviously, we wish Thunder Rosa well in her recovery, and she's got to be, you know, first in line when she eventually does come back.
You'd imagine so. It'll be like I never lost the belt type situation. And look, there's a lot of fun stuff you can play on with her and Jamie. That story about the bathrooms and stuff from way back when.
Yeah.
I've never been a big interim title guy. I think it sucks in the UFC, and I've not really enjoyed it in AEW that much. I would have kind of liked it if they'd maybe done this a bit earlier in Tony's reign. But they've done it now. Obviously, best wishes to Thunder Rosa and her injury recovery and all of that. Sounds worse than originally anticipated. So, yeah, I mean, if someone's going to be sidelined for a period of time, it's best to move on and then come back to it. It's not a slight on her at all. I think Thunder Rosa is great. It's just an unfortunate situation here. And then there's all the political nonsense as well, which manifests in various ways. At least Jamie gets to call herself just the world champion.
Yeah, just don't have her carry around two championships now.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of the interim thing, Sammy. I loved it when they first introduced it, by the way. When Cody said, I'm injured, but I'll be back soon, but we're going to do it. I was like, that's wicked. And then they ruined it for me. So now I'm just glad, There we go. Jamie Hayter, congratulations. What is it? The Killer and the Pillar?
Killer and the Pillar. What
a name that is for her.
Imagine them and the Butcher and the Blade hanging out. Great. What a night out that would be. Gee whiz.
Wow. Right, let's go to your questions today taken from our YouTube community page. So make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling. And then you'll see there Andy posts something just asking for questions every now and again. We also take questions, of course, normally from Twitter at What Culture WWE as well.
Remember tomorrow?
Oh, Wacky Friday.
I'm not here, baby.
Oh, Wackier Friday.
Send them to the gods here.
Yes, I'll pitch for it on Twitter a little bit later, at Adam Wilborn. First question today comes from Betley Island 36, who writes, with the Iron Survivor Challenge in a couple of weeks, it's on NXT if you've not been watching, are there any match stipulations you'd like to see in WWE that they haven't done before? They've done so many, it's hard to think of any that they haven't done that would be worthwhile. They have kind of done almost everything, haven't they?
Yeah, they've done everything 17 times.
Ladder matches.
That's such a fresh, original stipulation. I've got one, right? WWE is the clean company, right? PG rating, family entertainment, a lot of it's like scripted for children. You watch it with your little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, however old, whatever. It's like family affair, get them in here. Nice, squeaky clean. We don't swear, we don't do none of that blood and guts crap. With that in mind, the natural choice is an exploding barbed wire deathmatch.
Yeah!
Imagine a WWE version of that, PG.
Goodness me.
I mean, look at the AEW version. It sucked ass. But
I got two options for you, and they're both taken from the best wrestling company of all time, TNA. Three words. You got three words or a four-word one, okay? So you've got reverse battle royal.
Boom.
Genius. One of Vince Russo's greatest ideas, in my opinion.
And they're all great.
Everyone starts inside the ring, then has to pretend that they can't just get in, and then it becomes a normal over-the-top elimination battle royal, and then that gets you into an order for a tournament that someone who wasn't even in the original battle royal can possibly win. Or, my favourite, and it's perfect for this time of year, well, maybe after today, four words. Silent Night, Bloody Night match. If you don't watch it, it's genuinely a Christmas tradition in the Wilborn household. It's sensational. It's got a tree made of barbed wire. What more do you want?
What more could you possibly want?
Right, next question today comes from El Sean. A little sort of two-parter here.
Boom, boom.
El Sean writes, who are the top three wrestlers you would like to see bald?
Oh,
and
man.
Who are the top three wrestlers you would like to see with a mustache? I am thankful for Adam, Andy, and the What Culture Wrestling News. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, happy Thanksgiving to all of our American viewers. Or if you're in another country and you celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving
gobble,
to
gobble,
you.
Baby.
So yeah, we've divvied these up to our particular skill sets. Bald and mustache. Andy, three wrestlers. Do you want to alternate? I'll go.
Yeah, okay. You start this off, baby.
I want Michael Cole with an evil mustache. Please.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That you can twiddle while saying switching gears.
I mean, Drake Wurz doesn't work there anymore, but there's a certain type of mustache he's probably tried out.
Yeah, I was writing these and I was like, well, I can't have that because no conversations yet.
I mean, we can take shots at these assholes. Yeah. It's fine. Not Michael Cole. Michael Cole's good and a nice guy. Drake Wurz is not.
No.
Bald wrestler Seth Rollins would be funny.
He'd make it work as well.
Imagine going, hey, hey, hey.
He'd have a different head, you know, like his gear, different headpiece every week.
Yeah, Seth would be funny because he'd jazz it up. And
would you allow that? I know you're not a fan of like hair plugs or hair pieces, just embrace it.
If it's like a Kevin from The Office type hair
piece. Okay, yeah.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Second person, I was like, well, I can't just pick all WWE people, right? So you got Michael Cole on one side. Who from AEW would be? I'd be fascinated to see what mustache they'd grow. Hook.
Wow.
I can't picture it.
It would be like a sexy mustache.
Yeah, he could genuinely have like those weird, creepy pencil mustaches that they have.
Yeah.
And still look sexy.
You ever see the footage of him in the strip club?
I have, yes.
The ass just in his face. Imagine that with a mustache, even better.
Tickling it.
Who's bald? Bray Wyatt, right? But he's not just bald, he's shaving the beard off as well.
I can't.
Fascinated. I think he probably looks like a more built version of Bo Dallas.
He was relatively, I mean, he had like stubble, didn't he, as Husky Harris, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But he's like, I that's the closest you've come to seeing.
Because he's a guy who...
Like a baby.
cloaks himself, like obviously wears like hats. And like he always has like loads of gimmicks. He's very much like a... He's a visually arresting dude. I want to see what that looks like totally bald.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's a that's a really good pick.
We will embrace you in the bald community.
Final person. I don't know whether it's just that I'd like to see this person with a mustache or with a full beard even, perhaps. And by the way, if you want to donate to my Movember, the link's on my Twitter page. It's a very good cause, very close to my heart. Ezekiel. I don't know what he'd look like with a beard or a moustache. I'd love to see it.
Very good, very good.
Final bald wrestler for you?
It's a guy I've always wanted to see bald, and it's wild because I've been watching this person for like, how long have I been watching wrestling for? Since 1992, pretty much, right? I'm old. And I've always wondered what this person would look like bald. It's always, I've never even ran it through one of those generators because the day it happens, I want to see it naturally. Steve Austin. What would he look like bald?
Blonde hair, yeah. Bobby Lashley. Get rid of the blonde hair and like, I'd copy it.
Yeah, can't see it, man. Stunning Steve, whatever happened to that? Seriously, Dolph Ziggler would be funny. Dolph Ziggler would be really funny.
Do you remember that 1 week, Dolph Ziggler, when they went, cut your hair and dye it brown, and you went, you literally look like a creator wrestler.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on here, man? Come on.
I feel so sorry for that when they did that to him. I was like, why? And they were like, and we're going to put you with Vicky Guerrero for no apparent reason.
Is there any wrestlers with like funny shaped heads? Because like, that's the problem, right, with some guys.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, nature takes its course, and I'm always an advocate of just shaving it off. And sometimes you have, like my head's quite well-shaped for it. Sometimes it's, like, a disaster. It's, like, a little flat landing or something.
He's not got a lot of hair, but Gunther's got a big old head, hasn't he?
He might have a problematic head shape for going bald. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, Gunther. Sorry, brother. Love your work, but...
Gunther was one of the people I was going to pick for a moustache, and I was like, their connotations and all that.
Yeah.
WWE have skirted quite close to that anyway, so we'll just move on.
Yeah, they're dumb.
Final question today comes
from... They were dumb. Yeah. It's a different ownership.
Yeah, there you go. Pranav Mehta gives us our final question of the day, and yes, it's right. With it being Thanksgiving here in the US, what are you most thankful for this year in wrestling and outside of it?
Oh, man. Obviously... happiness, health, all of that stuff.
Yes.
Friends, family, all that.
Being able to sit in a room with Andy Murray, outside, I know it's not basically wrestling, but being able to sit next to this fella and not just be on a Zoom call and going, sorry, you were saying, I hated it, and all of the pandemic bothers. It's still not over, obviously.
Yes.
Please be safe, everyone. But that is just nice to be able to go and watch wrestling and do things like this.
Having the security blanket of things like vaccinations means that we don't have to come in and go, sorry, yeah. I was in contact with one person in Tesco who was 5 metres away. Yeah. I better do a test. So
celebrating football, all the World Cup goals, Japan's goals.
And of course, celebrating that Scotland are not participating on moral grounds. Very proud of my country.
What are you thankful for in wrestling this year?
In wrestling, I'm thankful for so many things, man. I'm thankful for the turnaround in WWE. I found weekly programming very enjoyable since Triple H came in creative. And I wouldn't say it's like a dramatic like shift, but it's a lot more logical and it's a lot more fun for me to watch. So I'm very thankful that Vince McMahon is gone and someone else is playing the material. I am thankful for Jon Moxley, my personal wrestler of the year. I am thankful for Jamie Hayter for being awesome. I am thankful for Sami Zayn specifically every single week. I'm thankful for Roman Reigns continuing to be awesome. I'm thankful for a lot of stuff. DDT, my favourite promotion, killing it constantly. I'm thankful that now in Japan, sometimes we have a show where people can cheer.
Yes.
What a novelty.
I'm thankful for Omega Osprey next year. Yeah.
I'm thankful for the... I just like stuff, man. I'm a pretty easily pleased guy now. Burying stuff is whack.
Yeah.
Just being a fun dude.
I'm thankful for most of the things you mentioned there. Sami Zayn is an obvious one. I'm thankful for my tribal chief, Roman Reigns, of course. I'm thankful for the Bloodline every single day that I wake up.
We are the ones.
I'm thankful for the new and best world champion in AEW, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm thankful he's my best friend.
Of course.
Most importantly. And I'm also thankful that despite the name change, NXT is still one of the most fun shows of the week. Your show the other day was awful and brilliant at the same time. If you haven't seen Scripts, watch the vignette and then go, sorry, how's this connected to this? And isn't that a guy I've seen who used to be like a wine person previously?
You know,
NXT's the best.
You know what I'm enjoying? Like, it's obviously, you know, you can pick up flaws in it, whatever. That's not the point. What I'm enjoying in NXT at the moment, right, is every month, there is a tag team storyline where two people form, 4 weeks later they split up, one of them turns heel, and you're supposed to receive it as the Rockers breaking up and going through the barbershop window and stuff. It's really funny to
me. Like, how cool they're going to split soon. Yeah.
It's like Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade were like, I trusted you, you were my best friend. You knew each other for 4 weeks. I love it. That's funny.
And I'm thankful that AEW stole that storyline with War Joe as well.
That's a good point, to be fair.
I'm also thankful, of course, for Tony D'Angelo and Stex.
Of course.
And do you know what? We should say what we're thankful for this year that we didn't expect. I'm thankful Logan Paul's in wrestling now. And that is not a sentence I thought I'd be saying last year.
I am thankful that Jeff Jarrett exists.
Yes!
And still rules. What's going on?
What is going on? Let us know what you're thankful for in the comments and your thoughts on everything we've discussed. I sense people have a lot to say about the whole CFL.
Oh, man. Everyone is going to be worked. It's
have it out. Weird. Have it out down there.
I'm not even going to look at it.
Nope.
Man.
No. Whoop. Continue the conversation as well on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Like, share, subscribe. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Dadley Boys are going to be arguing about AEW Dynamite probably a little bit later on.
They almost had a brawl.
And we'll be doing an extended preview for Survivor Series War Games, which is, of course, coming your way this weekend. And we will be doing a live stream for it, reacting to it on Saturday night. So do join us on the channel here for that one. You can follow us all on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Andy on Twitter at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, if you buy something on Depop and you see it's like £10, right? And it looks like too good a deal to be true. It usually is too good a deal to be true because you buy the sweatshirt, the Carhartt pink sweatshirt, and then you find out that it's got little dimples on the shoulder because it's been hanging up in someone's wardrobe for about 5 years.
Buy yourself bigger hangers, guys.
Yeah, I look like an idiot.
Like you got horns.
I look like, you know when Tony Khan came on TV for the first time on Dynamite, he was wearing this massive suit that didn't fit him. That's what I look like. Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilmore. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for watching. Thanksgiving.
Smells a bit.
And this has been the news.
Turkey is nice, though.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.